Well, it's good to know that the Lord is doing great work around the world today. And there are a lot of people we have, and there are a lot of faithful ones who are reaching out to lost and bringing them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that God can use us, a sinner like me, saved me by His grace and gave me this opportunity to be witness. If you've got your Bible, if you'd like to turn with me to Psalms 55. Book of Psalms 55. Yesterday I had a great privilege to be among the very wise, beautiful people, and looking at the wisdom they have, and I was thinking to myself, man, what are young people doing with all these wise men and women sitting there chatting around, listening to them? It was a really blessed time to be with those people that I was last night, and food and everything was great. So thank you all those who were there last night, and we really enjoyed the fellowship, and God has really blessed us. In Psalms chapter 55, you see in verse 1, the Bible says, "Give ears to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Here was a great burden in David's life as he called unto God. Today I'd like to share with you a topic that is fearful situation. A fearful situation. I'm sure that in time, in life, maybe many occasions we were very fearful. We are fearful of a lot of things. Just imagine if our line comes in here, what will be our situation? So we are fearful of some kind of things today in life. And many people I talk to, and those who don't know about Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior, or are not born again, they are fear of death. Not only those who are not born again, there are some even sitting in our churches today, they are afraid of fear to die. So we need to understand to make sure that we don't have fear over anything as far as we live in the world, because Jesus has conquered fear for us. And we should not be fearful of anything that comes along, and to put that kind of fear in our lives. We need to be careful. Here in Psalms, I don't have much time to read, but I would suggest you to read the old Psalms 55. The first thing here we see here is that the psalmist is crying for God to hear him. Is calling unto God. So we need to call unto God for anything, whether it's a small or what. We need to call unto God, and He's willing to hear. God wants to hear every prayer, every request, every need we have. We need to call unto Him. Then we find in the rest of the verse, in verse 3 here, I find that he had enemies that were hating him. Is anyone here don't have an enemy? I'm glad that we don't have enemies, but we have a greater enemy that opposes us, and that is Satan himself. So we need to know that we do have an enemy who is always coming and try to defeat us and make us do things. So in the life of David, he has a real enemies. And then we find out there in verse 4 that his heart was hurting. It was so hurting because of his own, who became his enemy. Just imagine that when he was able to meet with the Goliath. And what was the situation of Saul become his own enemy? Where he was able to cheer him up. In many occasions he tried to take his life. But here was he He didn't want an enemy, but he has an enemy around him. We don't want enemies, but we have enemies around us. And they come to attack you. They try to destroy you. They try to discourage you. They try to disappoint you. They try to do anything to take your eyes from the Lord. But if you and I are not careful, we will be destroyed. And that is what's happening in the life of David. He was hurting. And we may be hurting today with some kind of situation. You probably know what you're going through. And that made him to be very horrified in his fear. And he had that fear within himself in verse 5. And then we find in verse 6 to verse 8 that he escaped from all the surrounding because of the fear make people run. I remember that when Fiji had a coup, I know a lot of people, they just want to run. They think life is finished. I said, this is the beginning. You go anywhere in the world, you won't be satisfied. The only satisfaction comes from God. If you have Jesus, you got the satisfaction. If you don't have Him, you don't know Him, you don't have any satisfaction. You can run all of your life anywhere you want. You will be never satisfied. So David escaped from the fear that was around him. And he ran. Then we saw in verse 19, the judgment of God. The hand of judgment. Then in the rest, we found that there was a helping friend. A helping friend. This morning, as we look into all of this, the first thing I would like us to see today, see, we have a direct approach of God. We don't have a second person to go to God. We have a direct approach to God. We can go to God at any time, at any place, and in any situation. We have the direct approach. Here we see that when we go to God, we need to go in boldness. We need to come before God in a boldness so that we know that we don't have any fear before God. And God loves is so perfect. It drives away all the fears that we go through in life. Now people are fear that, you know, what happens if tomorrow I get sick? Or what happens if a doctor give me a wrong or give me a news that, you know, you got this disease? And the fear comes in. In that situation, we need to go direct to God, boldly. Not saying that, oh, I'm going to die, what will happen, or how am I going to make it up and make everybody's life miserable. When things come to you, whether it is good or bad, we need to go to God directly. Our approach needs to go before God and with a heart of thankfulness, with boldness. Here we find that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we can go before God in boldness. We cannot just think that our God will not hear. You know, a lot of times we hear that, you know, when I was serving in the temple with my grandfather, we have to ring bell every morning before God. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The statues will be sitting, monkey God will be sitting, like, you know, and we need to go and ring the bell. Wake up, wake up. They don't wake up. They don't even can't hear. But the fear was there, if he wake up, what will happen? I was always afraid when I go with the bell, you know, and ringing, ding, 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 ding. The fear was there, you need to respect those idols. The fear was there that, oh, he will do something to you if you don't. See, religions put fear in the life of people. God drives away fears. Amen? Aren't you excited this morning? Don't be sad. God wants to give the excitement and the joy to drive away fear. Whatever sickness, whatever things you go through in life, don't need to worry about it, because God wants to give you that boldness so that you can bring your problem this morning to God and say, God, I'm so thankful this morning that you can hear me. In James chapter chapter 5 in verse 16, we see there, when you come before God with fervent, God will answer your prayer. Without doubt, God will never answer a doubtful prayer. Many times we pray with doubt in our mind, back on our mind, or whether I'm going to be cured, whether I'm going to be blessed, or whether I'm going to, you know, God knows everything. You don't need to tell God what to do. He knows what to do, and just He wants to see your patience. So we can go before God in boldness, we can go before God in fervently. And God will hear you and answer your prayers. So this morning when I go before God, I don't need to go to others to tell that this is my problem. Can you pray? I need to go before God and approach God so that He can drive my fear away. David went before God. He has enemies around him. His enemy was his own son. His enemy was Saul. And he was fearful. He has to escape the place because of his life. And God was there to help him. He has a helping hand. We have people come in fear. We have children who come in fear. Who don't know what to do. Are we here to help them, to encourage them, to build them, to drive away their fear? Because we have a God that loves us with all our heart. You know, when God gives you this wisdom, when God gives you that boldness, we need to be a great encouragement to all those who are around us so that we can be able to help them. We need to give that helping hand. There was a need. We need to fulfill it. You know, every time when I go, I have people asking me, can you enroll my child to a school? We have certain that we cannot have everybody. But people want. They're living in fear. What will happen to my children? But God wants to drive that fear. And we got opportunity to share with them that God will drive us the fear from us when we totally surrender our life. It is not this, you know, when you pray like a popcorn. How many of you like to eat popcorn? If you put popcorn in the pot, what is happening? It pops so quickly, isn't it? Most of us like to pray like a popcorn prayer. Just pop in, pop out. Lord, thank you. Going. Think the Lord has heard it. No, we shouldn't. We need to spend some quality time with God in our prayers if you want to approach to God and you want to see things happen in your life. I'm telling you, I've seen things happening in our life there. Because we learn to spend time with God, trust Him with all our hearts. Second thing we see here, the distressed. He was so distressed that the opposition was so strong. And he was afraid and he was fearful in verse 3 and 4 of Psalms 55. You know, in a lot of times when we have the enemies around us, and many times we have enemies within us, isn't it? Forget of the enemies, they're outside. But many times we have enemies within us. And that enemy that we have within us is the first one is the fear that we have. What will happen? The second one is the guilt that we carry. And the third one is the doubt we have. And we can just get our list over and over again. These are some of the enemies that is in me that make me to be fearful to trust God. And that is the enemies within me. So if you have an enemy of fear within you, you need to go before God in boldness because He wants to cure that. And if you have a guilt, you need to go before God in repentance and asking God to help me. Lord, I want to repent it. I want to just lay it before God. You don't need to go and tell everybody. You need to tell God. God will take care of it. Because of guilt, we live in fear. Because of doubt, we live in fear. These are the greatest enemy. We think that diseases are killing me. Think about fear. Fear kills people. People are so fearful, they die. People are so guilty, the guilty brings so much distress in our life. We don't have that joy is gone. You know, sometimes I stand at the door and look at the people and ask, why are you like that? Oh, I have a hard day. Why? How can you have a hard day with Jesus? And they will sing, we can go anywhere, Jesus. But how can we have a hard day with Jesus? Because He drives our fears. So when we come before the Lord boldly, He takes that fear away. We shouldn't be fear. And these are the kind of disease that we have in us. And there is no medication. You go to the doctor and say, Doc, I've got fear. Can you give me an injection? They don't even have any kind of injection that can give you for fear. Is anyone any injection in Australia? I don't have any in Fiji. So there is nothing. There is nothing you can go to a doc and say that can they help you in guilt or they can help you in a doubt. There is no medication. There is only one medication. That is Jesus. When you look at Jesus, He will drive your fear away. He will take your guilt. He has already done that on the cross of Calvary for me. My doubts, everything He has conquered for me to give me a fearless life. As long as I live on this earth, I live without fear. Because Jesus is the answer for every need. We're here just for a moment and we're gone. And that's why He cried and said, give ears to my prayer, Lord. You know, you need to go with the burden in your heart, Lord. I'm so burdened for souls. I'm so burdened for my children. I can't rest, Lord. And God knows your burden. And He will answer your prayer. So are you carrying the distressed? Are you distressed with your work or the situation that you follow through? What are some of the things that distress you? You go before God. Don't worry about all those things. It will come to pass in His time. Not in your time, not in my time. Everything going to come to pass in God's time. If God's will, He will. He will do a great miracle. Because He is a great miracle performer. He can perform anything you cannot think of. That's what God does. The third thing we see in verse 6 and verse 8 here to verse 8 is the desire was for him to escape from war. His desire was to escape from the problem. He thought, I got an enemy. My son was after me. King Saul was after him. He was running away. He stood in cave. His desire was, and that's my situation too. My situation many times is to quit. It comes to a level, I had enough. I'm going to quit. He's run away. Escape. Escape and away from people, away from everybody. Wherever I escape, you're going to go with the fear. His desire was to run away from the trouble. How many of you are running away from the trouble? Most of us do that. We won't admit it, but we do. We like to run as fast as we can. It seems like there is a line behind us. Let's run! And we run faster from the trouble. But trouble run faster than we do. They're fast, very fast. So you cannot run from the trouble. If the trouble, you run to Jesus. You run to God. And when you run to Him, He will give you the peace that you're looking for. He will give you the satisfaction that you're looking for. He will give you the rest that you're looking for. It. And you cannot find it in the world. World is full of trouble. Full of trouble. You know, one of the saddest things that is happening in our island is child abuse. And that breaks our heart. Little children are abused. And they are sexually abused. And that now we cry to God. I was able to counsel 3 teenage girls who were sexually abused by their stepfather. And the social welfare called me and said, come, can you come to the office? Now I thought that, you know, we applied for unwanted children to enroll and to bring them home and give them home. That's what I applied for. I applied it 2 years ago and I had a call. But it was not that case, but they called, we got a case here if you can handle this. What a sad thing. This child were broken. Fear. They don't want to talk. They go hiding themselves. The next step for them was suicide. Among all people there, suicide is number one killer in the island of Fiji. Young people, they just kill themselves because of shame, because of unexpected things that happen in their lives. So we were able to counsel these children and help them. One of them, we enrolled them in our school. We gave her a place to stay. We have a place where these children can come and stay. And they stayed with us. We looked after them. Talked to them, went through. And she was able to finish the education, graduated, and year after got married. Because we can only help them to run away from the trouble. Because Jesus is the answer. And when they come to know Jesus, you know, when God told Jonah to go to one place, he went to other place because of fear. There are many Jonas around in churches today. When God said, come, go to Fiji, he said, no, God, I'm going to go to Australia. I'll stay here. Is God calling you to come to Fiji? Come, don't be afraid. You never know whom God's going to reach through your life, your testimony. Just come. Don't run away. In your trouble, don't run away if God calls you. God calling each and every individual. We all are missionaries. Amen? Everyone sitting here is a missionary. In our own home. That's where our mission work starts first. My mission work starts first in my home with my children. And when I reach out to them, I reach out to the world. If I don't reach out to my children, then I'm not worthy to reach out to anybody. My children is my priority. That's my God-gifted mission field, my home. So I reach out to them, and God used me to reach out to many children. I don't like to be like Jonah running away from trouble. Are you running from trouble? Hello, hear me. Don't run. Listen, God has the key. Well, God has the answer. You need to just trust Him. You need to totally depend upon Him. Don't depend upon what you have. Don't be proud of what you have. That's nothing. That's all God-given. And one day it will be gone. You're going to stand before God and give an answer. What you did from the day you got saved to the day you die. You are accountable for that. Second thing we see that some people have desire to run away from responsibilities. The pastor gave you some responsibilities. No, pastor, you somebody else. I'm too busy. We have a greatest responsibility now. And we shouldn't run away from our responsibilities. God wants you to be used for His glory. Quickly going. The fourth thing we see here in verse 12 to verse 14. We see a deceit. We see a betrayal of a friend. We see a deceit. And we see a betrayal of a friend. If you are a Christian today, accept it. You will be betrayed. They didn't leave Jesus, they're not going to leave you. Most time we think, oh, Jesus was able to handle it. No, no. They will never leave you. Your friends will not going to leave you. Your families, no one. They will betray you. They will be opposite you. How much you do good to them. You know, I've learned to be humble and patient. Even if I have to lift somebody up to that place and if they kick in my face, I say, thank you, Lord. Because many times you'll get a kick. Sometimes they will criticize, sometimes they'll gossip about you. So don't worry about that. Sometimes we think that I've done so much to them. I spend my time, my money, everything. What I get in it? Nothing. Don't worry. If you love Jesus, you're going to face that. Because Jesus was betrayed by His own. So, do you think they're going to leave you if you love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, if it's not in your heart today, then the world will have you. They're happy about it. But if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, you know, you have more enemies out there because they don't like it. Your family don't like it. Your friends don't like it. You know, they will desert you. Don't worry. Praise God that we have a bigger family in God. Do not let all those things defeat you. And then you are deceived and hurt and bent out. And then make your life miserable. God wants to give you the courage. Always be expecting unexpected. Because God didn't promise you that He's going to give you roses to walk on every day. No. So you expect the unexpected when you walk around. You may pray the prayer this morning, walk, I spend great time with God, hallelujah, and praise God, and you're walking, all of a sudden come, boo. God, what is that for? Now we're going to stand and jump and say, thank you, Lord. You know, you're excited because, hey, you're walking with Jesus. He will never leave you. He's going to walk with you. This is what Jesus does. He went through that. And if you go through that situation, you need to be excited and say, God, thank you. Always there will be unexpected thing happening in your life. It happens in every life. And if we start testimony and testifying about it, I'm sure that we can just say, yeah, hold it. Giving testimony, the unexpected thing that are happening, and many of us can just come down and cry and say, God, I'm sorry, I failed you. And I can stand and say, Lord, thank you for giving me the courage. Thank you for giving me for the wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for humbling me. Even it was a worst situation in my life. But I want to just praise you. And I want to lift my voice unto you. So always, you'll find that somebody in some way is going to be deceived. And there are a lot of deceivers around. So be careful. Look unto God. Then we find in verse 16 to verse 17, here in Psalms 55, you see there is a decision to go with God. We have to make a decision. And decision was to go with God, that I want to go with God. Because in this decision we find a commitment. And that commitment is that I'm going to call upon God. Now David realized that, if you read the also, he realized that now, that only situation can help me to get over this is if I only commit myself to God. So the question this morning I have to ask myself is, am I a committed Christian? Or I'm just a churchgoer? And that's nothing to do with anybody. There's nothing to do with pastor. There's nothing to do with deacon. That's between me and God. Am I 100% sure that I have committed myself to the Savior and given myself to Him? Totally. You know, if somebody asks me to walk 1 mile, I'll walk 2 miles. I'm committed. I'm committed to the Lord. I'll do everything as far as I can for the glory of God. Even I get nothing out of it, but I will do it anyway. I'll do it. I'm committed. I'm not expecting anything, but I'm committed to do what God wants me to do. So here he made a decision for his life. I'm going to commit myself to God. And that's why I call unto God. The second thing we find here that he was also full of confidence. He was full of confidence that he had God in his sight. Not his family, not his friend, not his son, not anybody. He has God in his sight. And I thank God that we have God in our sight. What we are fearful? If God is with us, who can be against us? They're full of promises in God, but what we do, we don't rely on God's word, we rely on our ability. We don't have confidence in God's word, we have confidence on what we have. But God wants us to have confidence on Him. Because when we have confidence on God, because we made that commitment, and now I'm totally confident in God, when I'm confident in God, I will not be afraid, I will not live in fear, because I know God is for me. And the third thing we see that he was calling to God constantly. He never back up in his calling. Keep on and keeping on. Keep trusting on Him, depending upon Him. So we have to make a decision for ourselves where I stand as far as my faith is concerned, my life is concerned, now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I confident to stand before in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the fear? The sixth thing we see in verse 18 and verse 19, We see that when he was able to, now that he was commit himself to God and he was able to have confidence in God, then we find that there was a deliverance that will come to the faithful ones. The deliverance will come to the faithful ones. God will deliver the faithful ones. See, the battle is on to faithful. God will help you and I to win the battle. It's already won. We just have to claim it. And if need to be faithful to claim that battle and that victory that we have in Jesus, because it's ours. We have that victory in Jesus. And we are faithful to Him, and that's why we find day in and day out, whatever circumstances comes to us, whatever the problem comes to us, we are victoriously standing up because God delivers us. There was a great deliverance. Because I look unto God, I don't look at the problem, I want to trust in God, I don't want to trust on the things that is around me. You know, lately in Fiji there was a place that may be 4 hours from us, they said there is a miracle water coming out from the ground. And people are running all to the miracle water. They're going there, they're drinking it, they're having bath in it. They don't go to Jesus but the miracle water. I said, we've got many miracle water in our taps today. People can come. But now they're coming to that place because somebody has deceived them and they're looking for deliverance. They're running to the miracle water. And they're spending their fortune. But here God wants to deliver us in a simple way, is that your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Are you faithful this morning? Then we find that they, when they were delivered from God, they give glory to God. They stand because God is the righteous judge. His judgment is true. So God wants to deliver you from your pain. He wants to deliver you from sickness. He wants to deliver you whatever circumstances you are in today. He wants to give you the deliverance. You just need to be faithful to Him. Call unto Him. Listen to Him. Go into God's Word. Spend quality time with God. It's not just I'm looking. I'm just, okay, I've done my duty. No, you need to study. You need to ponder upon. You have to ask a lot of questions when you study God's Word. God, help me. My mind is not settled. I don't understand, because He's going to open the mystery that is in the Word. He's going to open to you. And you'll be surprised when you spend quality time in God's Word. And will help you, and you will be shouting for joy. Because God performed it. God delivered you. And lastly, we see here in verse 22 of Psalms 55, the delightful promises of the righteous. We see the delightful promises of righteous. The promise that God made to the righteous. Now, the promise that He will sustain you. He will take care of you, your need, your problem. He'll take care of you. He promised you. He says, ask, and it should be given unto you. But unfortunately, we ask the wrong person, isn't it? Where we ask first when we have need or anything, we look into others. We look into that side. We look everywhere, but we don't look unto God and ask Him. Because I think I'm knowledgeable, I'm educated, and I got full of wisdom. So what do? I go ask everybody about this thing, but I don't ask God. That's my last resource. When everything fails, then I come and say, God, please help me. By that time, the situation is more worst. God says He's going to sustain you. That means He's going to be your provider. He's going to provide you, despise you, gonna whatever you're going through. He's going to help you. You need to seek Him. You need to just keep knocking. You don't get tired in asking God. He is a good listener. We are not. When people come and ask me, we pretend to be deaf, isn't it? Hello, I didn't hear you. Say it again. Many times we become deaf, don't want to hear. But God is a good listener. Keep asking and He will sustain you. And when God fulfills His promise, He's very steady. He's very steady. He's going to supply according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to the world. Not according to the World Bank. Not according to the Australian Bank or Fiji Bank. According to His glory and His riches. I thank God I serve a God who is performing great and wonderful miracles in life, in saving soul. That is the greatest miracle that happened in my life when He saved me. Excitement and joy. Knowing that, oh, I save a risen Savior. I need not to be quiet in saying that. You know, if anybody asks about my faith, I'm glad. I'm not ashamed to say that I have a risen Savior. This is God's word. Because He supplies my need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I had some problem that I was going through physically. It was for many years I was escaping you off. I said, I'm going to keep trusting God. But God opened the door and I was able to come to Brisbane and have my surgery. And they said, you have to put in a waiting list for many years. But my condition was so worse that I couldn't wait for many years. And we prayed and the doctor rang and said, come, I'll do it. And when I went to Brisbane, we thought we were going to pay a fortune. Because we are from Fiji. We don't have medical insurance and all this. We kept praying. I have a doctor friend in Melbourne. He helped me to get into there. Was done for me. After a year, I have to come back and assess the treatment that was going through. I didn't able to come. I just keep putting, Lord, I can't go. But God performed this miracle for me to come. And He arranged the doctor here in Melbourne. And he's a Nigerian. All the way from Nigeria. He came to Fiji. He lived in Fiji. He was a doctor there. He came to church. And he came to Melbourne. He's both husband and wife. He's a doctor. And he called me and said, Pastor, you need to come. You can't wait anymore. I said, I can come, but sorry, I don't have the resource to come. He said, who's asking for the resource? God told him to give the resource. So he paid my airfare to come. So I'm very glad. God fulfilled His promise according to His riches in Christ Jesus. He paid it and I came here and went through the first treatment. So He's arranging for second one. So I'm glad. God supplies your need. So we need to be delightful in God's promise. Not the promise of man. Not promise of anybody. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So my encouragement this morning is, whatever situation you go through, by the end of it, God is over all. He is over all of your situation because He created you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. Even every hair in your head is counted. Even we have bald head or whatever. He knows it. Even we lose hair, He knows how many is left. God knows everything about it. So you just need to simply trust Him. Depend upon Him. You know, just thankful to God. And that is how we can be a great influence in the life of my neighbor, my friend, my family. A lot of people are watching us. If I come into church this morning, you know, do I have to go to church? You know, with a face. My neighbors are watching. What's wrong with him? Why is he like that? I thought he's a Christian. You know, this morning when we wake up, we look at a neighbor, we wave him. Hey, I'm excited because I'm going to church because I love God. I'm showing them. I'm a living testimony because God is fulfilling His promise in my life. So I need to be excited about because this is my day start with God and my week process with Him. That's why first day of the week we come and meet together to encourage because we depend upon the promise of God. Thank you, Pastor Michelle.